Tonight's shiur is on this week's parsha, Parsha's Terumah, and the title of the shiur tonight is Inside of the Arum. So tonight we're going to analyze machlokes, an argument between various opinions, as to what was inside the Aron Kodesh. In the Kodesh HaKadoshim, there was, of course, the Aron, which we'll see in the Psukim, and there's a machlokes, there's an argument, what was placed inside of it. So we'll look through the Psukim, and we'll try to analyze what the different opinions are as to what was inside the Aron, and what the basis for this argument is. So if you look in source number one, it's our Parsha, it's Perek Chaf Hei, Pasuk Yud Gimel. We'll just read through a couple Psukim, and we'll look at some Rishonim. So the Torah says, "V'asisa vadei atzeshitim v'tzipisa osam zahav." So in describing the construction of the Aron, the Torah mentions that there were these poles that were constructed, and they were made out of wood, and they were covered with gold. So these poles were placed in rings that were on the side of the Aron in order to carry the Aron with. And there's a special mitzvah by the Aron that you're never allowed to remove the badim, the staffs, the sticks to carry the Aron. We're never allowed to be separated from the Aron. Because in a different shir that I've heard in the past, the nature of the Aron is to be nose itself, to travel itself. So therefore, you're never allowed to remove the badim. But in Pasuk Tes Zayin, it says, "V'nasata el ha'aron eis ha'idus asher etein elecha." It says that you should place in the Aron the testimony which I will give to you. So in Tes Zayin, in the description of the construction of the Aron, it also mentions that which is placed in the Aron. So if you look in source number two, it says edus, that it's testimony. So the question is, what exactly is the Torah referencing when it says es ha'idus, this testimony? So the Ibn Ezra says, like most opinions, and he says in source number two, "V'tam v'nasata el haron eis ha'idus, kimi she'itin el ha'adam hon lioso mufkad ito." So it's similar to a person giving their wealth to another person to hold on to. "V'tam ha'idus luchos abris." So when the Torah says, "V'nasata el haron eis ha'idus," it's referring to the luchos, the two stones that were brought down by Moshe Rabbeinu from Sinai, kimosh star edus alabris. And the reason why it's considered edus, testimony, is it's like a contract, that the luchos were like a contract that reflected or acted as testimony on the covenant between Hashem and the Jewish people. So the first idea is the Ibn Ezra, and he says that what was inside the Aron, and what are the edus that were in the Aron? It's the luchos. The luchos were placed in the Aron, and they're a sign. The reason why they're called Edus is they're a testimony to the bris, to the covenant between Hashem and the people that occurred at Har Sinai. And therefore, we place this in the Aron. And the Aron functions as a spot, as a makom for the Luchos. And that's Ibn Ezra. But Rashi argues, in source number three, Rashi is very strange. He says, "V'nasata el Aron, kimo ba'aron." So why does it say el ha'aron? It means in the Aron, in this box, the Aron HaKodesh, which was in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Ha'edus, what is this? Edus ha'Torah, shehi le'edus b'niu v'nechem. So Rashi says the Edus is a Torah, it's a Sefer Torah, which functions also as a testimony between Hashem and the Jewish people. Shetzivisi eschem mitzvos haksuvos ba, that I commanded you the mitzvos that are in the Torah. So there's a machlokes between the Ibn Ezra and Rashi as to what was in the Aron. According to the Ibn Ezra, what was in the Aron were the Luchos. And according to Rashi, he says that the primary idea of Edus, which is mentioned in the first point in the Torah where the Aron is constructed, is the Torah, Sefer Torah. So it's interesting. So it's a machlokes, it's an argument between the Ibn Ezra and Rashi as to what was inside of it. And we have to go through more sources to see exactly what the different opinions are. But one of the Mefarshim on Rashi, one of the Achronim, Rav Eliyahu Mizrahi, asked a lot of questions on this Rashi. What does it mean that there was a Torah scroll in the Aron? So if you look in source number four, he asks very strong questions. He says, "Ha'edus ha'Torah shehi le'edus b'niu v'neichem shetzivi se'eschem mitzvos haksivos pa." So he quotes Rashi, "Kein matzasev b'chol ha'svarim shelofaneinu." So this is the interpretation of Rashi, and this is the girsa, the accurate version of what Rashi is saying. "V'lo shamati pirusho, I don't really understand Rashi's explanation that the Edus that the Torah is referring to in our Parsha is the Torah, is the Sefer Torah. Why? Hine akasav po hu akasav besipur akamas ha-mishkan vayikach vayitain es ha-edus el ha-aron v'sham purish es ha-edus haluchos. So one problem is that in Parshas Pekudei, Rashi on the Torah says again in another place, v'nasata es ha-edus el ha-aron, and Rashi says edus haluchos, like the Ibn Ezra. So it sounds like he's kind of contradicting himself. Rashi says over here in our Parsha that what was in the Aron was the Torah, was the Sefer Torah. But in Pekudei, which is a little bit later on, it says it's the Luchos. So which one was it? Lo Torah Kamosha Kasav Po. It doesn't say the Torah, but it's like it says over here, but it says the Luchos. V'od. And another question is, Echi Tachin Shiyazel Torah. How could the Psukim be referring to the Torah, the Sefer Torah? V'halo Sefer HaTorah lo nichtav at Sofar Abayim. The Torah wasn't completed until the end of their journey. And this was in the Midbar. The Torah wasn't completed yet. And there's a machlokes as to when the Torah was written. Was it written as they went? Or was it written at the very end, Arba'im Shana? But either way, it wasn't completed yet. So what does it mean that the Torah, according to Rashi, belongs in the Aron? Ki kasuv vayichtav Moshe es hashira zos bayomahu. At the end of Hazinu, that's when Moshe writes the Torah down. Shehu biyom Moso, on the day of his death. Uchsiv basrei vayhi kechalus Moshe lechtoves divrei HaTorah zos al sefer atumam vayitzav Moshe es halevim lakoach sefer HaTorah zeh v'samtem oso mitzad aron bris Hashem. And in Hazinu, it says that Moshe wrote a Torah and he gave it to the Levim and he told them to keep it by the Aron. So the question is, how could the Torah be referring to how could the Psukim here be referring to the Torah if the Torah wasn't complete yet? The Torah was completed at the end of the 40 years, and only then did Moshe complete the Torah and give it to the Levim and tell them to put it in the Aron. So that's one question on Rashi. And also, there's another good question, great question. The Ode, Eich Pasakan Kimanda Amar Shemitzad Aluchos Hayamunach Besoch Aron Mamish. So how does Rashi hold that the Torah, the Sefer Torah that Moshe wrote at the end of his life, was placed inside the Aron itself? Ad Shabavur Zeh Hutzrach Lefarish Ela Aron Kimo Ba'aron. And he's very confident. He says Ela Aron means in the Aron. V'halo b'parshas Vayelech kasav shenechleku bo chachmei Yisrael b'bava basra. By Parshas Vayelech, there's a machlokes in the Gemara. There's an argument where the Sefer Torah was placed, Moshe's Sefer Torah. Yesh omrim daf haya bolet min ha'aron mibachutz v'shamaya munach. So some say that there was a little tiny piece of wood that was on the side of the Aron for the Torah of Moshe. And some say that it was inside the Aron with the Luchos, and it seems like Rashi was not sure, but over here he's sure. So this Shita in source number 4 asks a lot of questions. There are three main questions. The first point is the idea that that Rashi contradicts himself. He says that on the one hand over here he says Torah, but in Pekudei he says Luchos. And the second question is this idea that the Sefer Torah wasn't complete yet. So how could the Torah, the Psukim, be referring to the Edus of the Sefer Torah? And the last question is that it's a machlokes where the Sefer Torah was placed. Was it placed, Moshe's Sefer Torah, was it placed on the side of the Aron or inside the Aron with the Luchos? But Rashi in our Parsha and Truma says it was inside the Aron, but over there, it's a question, so why is he so certain that it was inside the Aron? So those are all the questions. Good questions on Rashi. Right? So, if anybody has any questions on me, just stop me, or if it's not clear, I'll repeat it. But the main question, as I said in the beginning of this year, is what was inside the Aron? What's the significance of what was inside the Aron? And what's the different opinions as to what was inside? And we'll try to explain them more conceptually. Okay? So one other point before, one kind of side point in Rashi on this piece, and then we'll come back to the main questions. So there's an interesting part in Rashi. In the next several psukim in our parsha, in Shruma, in source number 5, the Torah repeats itself about this Edus thing, that the Edus go in the Aron. So it says in source number 5, when it's describing the Kapores, which was the top of the Aron, it says in source number 5, Pasuk Chaf, V'hayu akruvim, So the Torah describes that on top of the Kaporis there are these angels, and they were facing each other, they had wings. So So the Torah says that you will place the kapores, which is the top of the aron, on top of this box, the aron, which you place the edus that I will give to you. And that's where Hashem spoke to the Jews through the Aron and the Kruvim. That's where Moshe heard the voice of Hashem. It came through that, through the Aron. So again, the Torah in source number 5 in our Parsha again repeats itself. He says again, the Torah says again, that you should place the Edus in the Aron. So Rashi in source number 6 says as follows. Look in source number 6 inside. He says, Ve'el ha'aron titein es ha'idus, lo yadati lama nichbal. So Rashi says, I don't know why the Torah doubles this up and repeats itself. Sharei kfar ne'amar, v'nasata el ha'aron es ha'idus. It already says it in our psukim. V'yish lomar, this is important, sheba l'lamed, it's coming to teach us, sheba odo aron levado below kapores, when the aron, the box, didn't have the covering over it, yitain tchila ha'edus l'socho. You'd have to place the edus, the Torah or the luchos, in it first. The achar kach yitain es ha'kaporis alav, and then afterwards, you should place the kaporis upon it. V'chein matzinu, k'shehekim es ha'mishkan, ne'amar, v'yitain es ha'edus ala aron, v'achar kach v'yitain es ha'kaporis ala aron milmala. So Rashi says over here that he doesn't know why the Torah repeats itself as to what was placed in the aron, but he gives a possibility, and he says that it's trying to teach us that there is an order to how you built the Aron. First, you built the box part, then you put the Edus in, which were the Luchos or the Torah, and then finally you put the Kapores on the top. So what is this teaching us? So Rashi says practically that you wouldn't be allowed to close the Aron before you put the Edus in. So if you had the bottom of the Aron, which was like a box, a golden box, and you had the covering, which had the angels on it, you wouldn't be allowed to put the box, the kapores, on the aron before the edus. Instead, you had to build the box, put the edus, which were the luchos, or the Torah, inside, and then afterwards cover it with the kapores. You couldn't put the kapores on the aron until the edus were put in it. So Rashi's mentioning an important point. This is the first point I wanted to make in the shir. The question is, why is this important? Why does it matter what the order of creating this aron is? So I saw another shir. I was reading an article, I think it was by Rabbi Tarragon, about how the Torah in this situation describes the construction of the Aron, and as opposed to the other Kalim where it describes the construction, it separates by the other Kalim that which you put on the Kalim. For example, by the Shulchan you would put the Lechem. So the Torah divides up the construction of the Shulchan and what its dimensions were, and then in another portion it describes that which was placed on the Shulchan, which was the Lechem Atamid, Lechem Apanim. But over here, by the Aron, it's not so. In the construction of the Aron is mentioned the idea that the Edus, that whatever was inside of it, either the Luchos or the Torah, are part of the construction of the Aron, as opposed to, like the Lechem, it's not mentioned in a separate part as to what was placed in it or on it, but it's actually part of the construction of the Aron. So we see from here an important idea about the Aron. And the concept is that the Aron had no independent existence outside of that which was in it. The Luchos, or the Torah, were essential components to the construction of the Aron. They were part of the very entity of the Aron, as opposed to the Aron having an independent existence, an independent significance. The Torah is teaching us, by placing the Edos section in the construction of the Aron, that it was part of the construction of the Aron, and it was necessary for the Aron to exist. It needed the Edus inside of it, and that was really the essence of Aron, not the box itself. So that's why the Torah is teaching us, and Rashi is teaching us, that you couldn't have a situation where you built the box, the Aron, and you placed the Kaporis on top of it, and then after you took the Kaporis off and put the Edus in. No. You have to put the Edus in before you complete the Aron, because the Edus is essential to the very identity of Aron. Without Edus, without whatever was inside the Aron has no independent existence. It's not an Aron until it has Edus in it. And that's what the Torah is teaching us. That's what Rashi is teaching us. That's why the Edus, what was inside the Aron, is part of the very construction. It's not something that was on it, like the Lechem, Hapanim, was on the Shulchan, but it was part of the very essence of the Kli itself. Part of the very essence of Aron was really the Luchos, and Aron doesn't exist without the Luchos or the Torah. So that's an important point in understanding the idea of what was inside the Aron, that it wasn't just accidental to the Aron, but it was essential. It's what made the Aron into the Aron. Okay? But we have to continue on. We're still not sure. Now the question is, we're still not sure what exactly was in the Aron. Was it the Sefer Torah, the Luchos? And we'll get to another, there's another possibility as well. And then we'll try to explain it. So Rashi, any questions on that last point? Okay, so Rashi, this is the part of the Rav Eliyahu Mizrahi's questions. So Rashi, look in source number 7. Rashi in Pekudei says, Vayikach vayitain esa idus al el ha'aron vayosim esa badim al ha'aron vayitain esa kaporis al ha'aron milamala. So again, in Pekudei, the Torah talks about the actual construction of the Aron, and it says that you should place the Eidos el Aron. And Rashi, in source number 8, says, Esa Eidos Haluchos. So it's a contradiction, because Rashi, in our Parsha, if you go back to source number 2, sorry, number 3, he says, Eidos HaTorah, that's the Torah, the Sefer Torah. And in source number 8, he says, Haluchos. So in two situations where the Torah uses an identical phrase, Eidos, Rashi comments completely differently. He says in one that the Torah, the Sefer Torah, is the Eidos that was placed in the Aron. And in another, in Arashi, in Pekudei, he says that it's the Luchos. So what exactly was inside the Aron? And of course the Aron was in a very hidden place, but what was inside of it? What is the Torah teaching us was inside of it? Was it the Torah? Was it the Luchos? Was it both the Torah and the Luchos? Was it something else? And why? Why was it structured that way? Why were these things inside the Aron? Okay, those are all the questions. And then finally, we get to one last point here. And this is where things get stranger. So if you look in source number 9, it's in Devarim, Parak Yud. I think it's Akev. It says, Ba'isahi, Amar Adushem Eli, Psolucha Shne Luchos Avanim Karishonim, Va'ale Eli Hahara, V'asisalucha Aron Eitz. So in Akev, the Torah recounts the story of Moshe creating the second Luchos. So of course, I just want to do a little review. The first Luchos were created after Har Sinai, and Moshe comes down with the Luchos. He sees that the Jews are involved in the Egel, and he throws the Luchos and he smashes the first set of Luchos. Then Hashem wants to destroy the Jews. Moshe asks for forgiveness, and Hashem agrees to allow the Jews to survive and to continue to exist. But he instructs Moshe that now Moshe himself is going to have to create a set of tablets of Luchos on his own, and that's why the Torah says in source number 9, Psolucha Shnei Luchos Avanim Karishonim, just like the first ones. And then also it says at the end, you should make an Aron, you should make a box out of eights, out of wood, for these Luchos. So the question is, what is this wooden box, this Aron, for the Luchos, for the second set of Luchos? So Rashi explains as follows, look in source number 10, Ba'isahi, Lesof Arbaim Yom, Nisratzeli V'amar Li Psolucha. So after 40 days that Moshe was begging Hashem for forgiveness, Hashem says to Moshe, you should carve for yourself the Acher Kach v'asisa l'cha Aron. And then he says to make a box for this, for the Luchos. V'ani asisi Aron t'chila, k'she'avo v'haluchos b'yadi heichan etnem. Moshe already made a box for the first Luchos, because he realized that when he came down with the Luchos, where would he place them? But there was two Arons. There was an Aron that Moshe made out of wood, and then there was the Aron of Bezalel, which was in the Mishkan. Shari Mishkan lo nis askubo ad la'achar Yom HaKippurim. So the Aron of Bezalel was created way after the Luchos in Yom HaKippurim. Kibberitom in a heart, siva lahem amalechas haMishkan. When Moshe came down from Har Sinai, that's when they were commanded to build the Mishkan. Ubitzal asa Mishkan tchilaso v'achkach Aron v'chilim. First, Bezalel made the structure of the Mishkan, and then he made the Aron and the Kelim. Nimtza ze Aron acher haya. So Rashi says that there was another Aron, there was a second Aron. Vizehu shehaya yotzi imam lemelchama. And this Aron went out to battle. The osa sheasa Bezalel lo yotza lemelchama ela bimei eli v'nenshu ala v'nishba. Okay, so there were two Aronos, according to Rashi. There was a wooden one that Moshe made, and then there was the one that Bezalel made, which was the one for the Mishkan that was overlaid with gold. And there was two of them, and one of them went out to war, the wooden one, and the one in the Mishkan of Bezalel's stayed in the Mishkan, and it went out to war one time. In the times of Eli, it went out to war, and they were punished for it going out to war in front of them. Okay, so now this is strange. Now, what exactly is going on? We have the Aron of Bezalel, which was the golden Aron, the Aron that we're all familiar with, the Raiders of the Lost Ark, so that one, and we also have the wooden box that Moshe made for the Luchos, and they existed separately, these two Aronos, and they had different functions. One Aron, the Aron of gold, was functioned in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and the other Aron, which was the wooden Aron, functioned to go out to war. And we're still not sure what Rashi holds was in each Aron, so we'll have to understand what was in each Aron, and what's the significance of these two Aronos. So we'll get to an answer, trust me, I'm just building up the questions. So if we look in source number 11, so this is a long Ramban, but it's a very important Ramban, and the Ramban argues with Rashi, and then we could get two different interpretations and get some clarity, finally, into what was inside the Aron. And the Ramban is very nice here, because he explains Rashi, he explains himself, and we can come to some type of understanding. So look in source number 11. I know it's a long one, but we'll break it up, read it slowly, don't worry. So in source number 11 it says, V'tam v'asis l'cha aron eitz, shetasim haluchos besocho be'esha tered. So Hashem commanded Moshe to build a wooden box so that when he went down from Har Sinai, he would place the luchos in this box. V'haya ha'aron hazeh kulo eitzu, it was all wood. V'hamachase asher alav milamala k'minhag b'chol ha'aronos, it was like a regular chest. So Ramban says that the luchos were stored in this wooden box until the Mishkan was built. The Oz Asu Aron Hametzupe Zahav, and then the Aron, the beautiful Aron of Bezalel, the one that was gold and had the Kruvim, that was built by Bezalel afterwards. Vakaporis Hashar Lov Zav Tahor. The Lo Amar Lo Kain Beluchos Arishonos, and this was only commanded to Moshe by the second Luchos. Basically, when you go down with the second Luchos, put them in this wooden box until the regular Aron is built, and then you'll move them and you'll transfer them. But by the first Luchos, Hashem never instructed him this way. Lefishaya Golo Lefun of Shiyishbarim, Hashem knew that Moshe was going to break them, which is a separate question. How do you, you know, free will, but we're not getting into that. Vitam Bayusham Kasher Tziva Ni Hashem, Shayusham Achinasa Mishkan. So the Ramban is simple. He says that the Torah is instructing Moshe to build a temporary storage place for the Luchos. So you'll build a wooden box, keep the Luchos there until we build the Mishkan, and then move the Luchos from this wooden box into this golden box. And the Ramban says this is the pshat, and this makes sense. So the Ramban is learning that Moshe went down with the Luchos, and he placed the Luchos in a wooden box, and after, when the Mishkan was built, he transferred the Luchos from the wooden box to the golden box of the Aron of the Mishkan. V'chos of Rashi, now he takes Rashi to task. V'chos of Rashi, the Loze Aron she'asa Bezalel, this was not the same Aron of Bezalel, sh'arei lo nis'asku b'mishkan elo l'achar yom ha'kippurim. So they weren't involved in the Mishkan until after Yom Kippur. Kibaritto min ahart siva lahem amalechas amishkan. He's just quoting Rashi. Uvitzalu asa amishkan v'achakach aron mekelim. Nimtza ze achar haya. So the Aron was built afterwards. V'zehu shaya yotze imem lamochama. Then there was another, the Rashi holds, there are two Aronos. One went to war, and one was Bezalel's. V'oso sh'asa Bezalel lo yotza b'mochama ele b'me'eli v'nen sholo v'nishpa. So he quotes Rashi, as we mentioned before. Zehu lashon arav. He says, V'divrei agadahim shematza kasav betanchuma. So this is a medrash that Rashi is quoting, that there were two aronos, there were two boxes. V'yish lishol, he says, you could ask, V'achar shehotzi misham aluchos v'nasna ba'aron she'asa betzalel mahaya b'zeh. Once Moshe moved the luchos from the wooden box into the golden box, what was the purpose of this first aron? The lama hu yotzi imam lemilchama. Why did it go out to war? The omrim sheshivrei haluchos hayusham. The chen ba'agada. So they want to say that in the wooden box, the broken luchos were placed in the wooden aron, whereas in the golden box, it was the second luchos. Okay, I know this is a little complicated, but there were, according to Rashi, there were two aronos. There is the wooden box, which contained the shivrei luchos, the broken luchos that Moshe had, the first luchos. And then the golden box of Bezalel had the second set of luchos, according to Rashi. And then he says, V'chein ba'agada. This is also in the Medrash. Aval divrei yachidim, he rejects it. He says, this is a lone opinion. Shekach shaninu b'maseches shkalim, Tanya Rabbi Yehuda b'Rav Elai Omer, Shnei Aronos hayu im Yisrael b'midbar. So this is one opinion. Achar shahayu shivrei luchos menachim ba. The broken luchos were in this wooden box, and it went out to war. V'rabbanan amri echad haya. But the Rabbanan, most rabbis, argue. And they say there was only one Aron. Upam achas yata b'mei eli v'nishba. V'das rabosinu b'chol makom b'talmud eno kein. So in our Gemara, they only hold that there was one Aron. Ela luchos v'shivrei luchos munachim ba'aron. And in that Aron, there were both sets of luchos. Ve'od ana yamo da Aron hazeh im aluchos harishonos kol yimei amidbar ki b'mishkan b'beis kodesh kadashim achar parochos ein sham shnei Aronos. Fine. So he also says they didn't have two Aronos in the Kodesh Kadashim. Okay, so I don't think we have to go that much further in the Ramban, but if you want to read the Ramban on your own, he kind of just continues to describe this idea. But I just wanted to set it up. So there's really two sets, there's two opinions. I wish I had a blackboard here, but there's two opinions. There's Rashi and the Ramban. So Rashi maintains that in the golden Aron, there was the Torah and the second Luchos, and in the wooden Aron, there was the Shivrei Luchos, the broken Luchos. But the Ramban maintains that in the golden Aron, there was the Shivrei Luchos and the regular Luchos, and there was no other box. There was no other Aron. In fact, he says that that one was gones. It was buried because it had no use. It was just temporary. And on the side of the Aron, there was the Torah. The Torah was built. There was a little shelf on the side of the Aron for the Torah. So we have two different opinions as to what was inside the golden Aron, and what was inside, and whether there existed another Aron, the wooden box. So again, the two opinions are, Rashi holds that in the golden box, our Aron, the Aron of the Mikdash and the Mishkan, there was the Luchos and Moshe's Torah. And in the wooden box, there was the Shivrei Luchos, the broken Luchos, of the first set of Luchos. Whereas the Ramban holds that, like most Mefarshim in the Gemara, most of the Chazal, that there was only one Aron. It was the golden Aron of the Mikdash. And in that Aron were the Shivrei Luchos and the second set of Luchos. And in fact, he holds that there's no question of where the Torah was. Was it on the side of the Aron or inside the Aron? But we'll assume that it's on the side of the Aron. So the question is, what is the difference? Like, what's the machlokes here between Rashi and the Ramban as to what was in the regular Aron, whether there was another Aron for the Shivrei Luchos, a separate one? What exactly is the basis of this machlokes between the two of them, between the Ramban and Rashi? Okay? So that's the question. And then we'll get some insight into the nature of the Aron itself and the two Aronos. So there's a Gemara in source number 12 in Erevin, and the Gemara says, V'amar Rav Elazar, Maidech Siv Charos Alaluchos. What does it mean that it was Charos, it was inscripted on the Luchos? Il Mali Lo Nishtabru Luchos Harishonos Lo Nishtakha Torah Mishrael. So the Gemara learns a lima that if not for the fact that the Luchos were broken, the first ones, the Torah would never be forgotten by Klal Yisrael. So we see that, aside from the Pshat and the Torah, that the first set of Luchos were different. They were Michtav Elokim. They were constructed and created by God himself, as opposed to the second Luchos, which were written by Moshe and constructed by Moshe. The Gemara teaches us that if not for the first set of Luchos being broken, the Jews would have never forgotten the Torah. So we see here that, from this Gemara, that there was a fundamental difference between the first set of Luchos and the second set of Luchos. Aside, as I just mentioned, aside from the nature of its construction, the fact that Moshe constructed the second set and Hashem constructed the first set, because the Torah says it was Michtav Elokim, the Gemara teaches us that the first set of Luchos would have had a much greater impact on Klal Yisrael than the second Luchos ever had. So we'll try to understand that. What does that mean, Lo Nishtakha Torah Mishrael, if not for the first set of Luchos being broken? So that's a question. And there's one other point in source number 13, and then we'll try to explain everything. But the source number 13 is a famous Mishnah in Avos, and it says, Asara Devarim Nivru B'Erev Shabbos Bein Hashmashos. There were 10 things that were created at the very end of creation, Bein Hashmashos, which is after sundown, before the stars come out. So at the very end, the Elohein, these are them, Pia Aretz, the opening of the earth by Korach, Upia Be'er, and the opening of the well, Upia Ason, the mouth by Balak and Bilam, the Akeshes, the rainbow, the Haman, the Hamate, so the Mon and the Mate, the Hashamir, which is a worm that was used to cut stone, the Haksav, the Hamichtav Haluchos, the letters and the writing and the Luchos. So they were created at the very end of creation. V'ish omrem af mazikin ukvarasa shel Moshe v'yelo shel Avram. Some want to say that even the mazikin, which are considered, the damagers, and the kvura, the burial of Moshe, and the ram of Avraham Avinu, v'ish omrem af tzeves b'tzeves asuya, even the tongues. Okay, so we see from the Mishnah in Avos that the Luchos are considered a creation that was created at the very end of Maaseh Bereishis. So why? Because just like all these other examples, it was an abnormality in nature. It wasn't, the first set of Luchos were not natural. They were nes. There was a miracle. And fundamental in the first set of Luchos were aspects that really defied the normal laws of nature. And anything that was created, ben hashmashos, of Maaseh Bereishis, somewhat exists outside of the norms of creation, of the laws of nature of creation. And that's what the Mishnah is kind of hinting to. But the Luchos were one of those miracles, one of those creations of Hashem that didn't really fit into the laws of nature. And the Gemara says, and Rashi says, that in the first set of Luchos, the letters were suspended, the insides of the letters in the Luchos, and there are many miraculous ideas are attached to the Luchos, the first set of Luchos. So what do we see? We see from here that the first set of Luchos were really fundamentally different than the second set of Luchos. And we see that from the two Gemaras. The Torah itself says it. So we see from Rashi that Rashi is categorizing the... So how do we define the machlokes between Rashi and the Ramban? So it seems like Rashi's learning that you couldn't place the first set of Luchos, even the Shivrei Luchos themselves, in the same category as the second set of Luchos and Moshe's Torah, because of the fundamental difference between the two ideas, the two sets of Luchos. The first set of Luchos was a totally different entity, according to Rashi. According to Rashi, the first set of Luchos was a Maisa Elokim, was created in Maaseh Bereishis, and it itself was a miraculous entity. And as the Gemara says, if not for the fact, and I think this is the explanation of the Gemara, if not for the fact that the first Luchos were broken, the Jews would have forgotten the Torah, it's because of the idea that it would be nicker, recognizable, that the Torah was from God, and the Jews would always have access to that idea, so it would make it difficult for them to forget. So a person forgets when they, you know, when they're lazy, when they undermine the divinity of the Torah, but if you had access to the Luchos, and you had access to the, almost to the event of Sinai, and the Luchos, which reflected the miracles of miraculousness of the Torah, so the Jews would have a constant reminder of the divinity of Torah, and it would make it more difficult for the Jews to forget the Torah. It would give the Torah a certain concreteness in the man's mind. And I think that's what the Gemara is alluding to. But what do we see? Again, we see that the first Luchos were fundamentally different than the second Luchos. So Rashi is learning that the first Luchos, even though they were broken, still had there was still a certain element of beauty to them, of miraculousness to them. Whereas the second set of Luchos were similar to Moshe's Torah. They were both constructed by Moshe. They were both the idea of a man-made Torah that ultimately came from God, but it was man-made. And there was man's stamp on the Torah and the Luchos, the second set of Luchos. So Rashi's separating the two. He's saying that there was a box, a regular wooden box, for this Shivrei Luchos. And the Shivrei Luchos really reflected the miraculousness and the uniqueness of the first set of Luchos. But our Aron, the Aron of the Mishkan and the Mikdash, really had the Torah of Moshe and the second Luchos, because both reflect a different idea. They reflect the idea of the Torah being in the hands of man, and man now being, so to speak, in charge of teaching the Torah and conveying the Torah, and both were exemplified through the second set of Luchos and the Torah. They were both similar in their identities. But the Ramban learns differently. The Ramban learns that the second set of Luchos was really a replacement of the first set of Luchos. And he maintains that because the second set of Luchos were a replacement of this first set of Luchos, they belong together. and they belong in one space together, in one makom, because really the second set of luchos are not to be viewed as fundamentally different than the first set. Rather, they're an idea that the Jews achieve forgiveness, and they're there to replace the first set of luchos. So as such, the Ramban maintains that the first set of luchos and the second set of luchos were placed together in Aron, in the golden Aron, and there's no idea of this. There's no idea of this separate shivrei luchos, and because once the second set of luchos were given, now they replaced or they functioned to complete the shivrei luchos of the first luchos. So the machlukas between Rashi and the Ramban is how do you view the relationship between the second set of luchos to the first set of luchos? Were the first set of luchos just completely different, unique, and the second set of luchos reflected an idea of man's conveyance of the Torah, just like the Sefer Torah of Moshe Rabbeinu? Or was the second set of luchos a replacement of the first set of luchos? And if the second set was a replacement, then they belong together in the same spot of the Aron. So I think that's the difference between the two shitos, and they reflect a different idea of what the Eidos is, because according to the Ramban, the testimony is really a testimony of Sinai, because the luchos were really tied to Sinai. Whereas according to Rashi, the testimony was really a testimony of the ideas of the Torah, and really the ideas of the Torah are reflecting God's chachmah, his wisdom, and his creation, and the godliness of the ideas of the Torah itself are really the edus of the bris between man and God. So I think Rashi and Ramban are highlighting a different function of the edus of the Aron. Was it the edus of Sinai, which was in the luchos, or was it the edus of the chachma, the wisdom, and the divinity found in the ideas and the tzivuyim of the Torah? Okay, so that's really the shiur tonight. But I just wanted to summarize. I know it's a so. Really, I want to. The question that we started with was what was inside the Aron, and we had a lot of funny ideas that came about. One was the Rashi versus the Ibn Ezra. Rashi maintains in our parsha, in the beginning of our parsha, that it was really the Torah of Moshe, and the Ibn Ezra says it was the Luchos, which is like most Rishonim. So the questions were numerous on Rashi. What does he mean the Torah? The Torah wasn't given yet. The Torah wasn't given yet? That's one question. And furthermore, it's machlokas in the Gemara where the Torah was placed. Was it inside the Aron? Was it outside the Aron? So that was one of the many questions we had on Rashi. But what's the significance of it? And then furthermore, we went on in the shir and we saw that Rashi mentions the second point, which is that the Aron can't exist on its own. And you see that from the order of how you're supposed to place the Torah and the Luchos into the Aron. You couldn't put the Kaporis on the Aron first. You had to wait till the Luchos were in there, and then you could put the Kaporis on, because you see that the Luchos and the Torah were part of the very construction of the Aron. They weren't just secondary or added onto the Aron, but they're part of the very essence of Aron. And then we saw Rashi contradicted himself. He said that the Luchos were inside. So which one was it, the Torah or the Luchos? And then he mentions a second Aron, and the Ramban explains that it had the Shivrei Luchos. So in the end of the day, we had two different shitos. We had the Ramban and the Rashi. Rashi maintained that there were two Arons. There was the golden Aron, which had the Luchos, the second set of Luchos, and the Torah of Moshe, and this wooden box that had the Shivrei Luchos. And the Ramban maintained otherwise, that there was only one Aron. It was the golden Aron of Bezalel, and it contained both the Shivrei Luchos, the broken Luchos of the first, and the second Luchos. So the question we had was, what's the difference between Rashi and the Ramban? So I wanted to explain that Rashi maintains that the first set of luchos were fundamentally distinct from the second set. And the second set of luchos really belonged with the Torah of Moshe, because they reflected a different idea of Torah. It's not the Torah of God's creation, but it's really the Torah that was given to man to convey. And that's the idea of the second luchos, because Moshe constructed them, and the Torah's Moshe, both were constructed by Moshe. It's an idea that man is given the opportunity or the ability to convey this information. And that's really the idea of the Eidos, as opposed to the Shivrei Luchos, which were a separate idea, a separate unique creation that was and that had to be separated from the other Aron. Whereas the Ramban maintains, no, that really the second set of Luchos were really a replacement for the first set, and they weren't fundamentally different. And even though Moshe constructed the second set of Luchos, in the eyes of the Torah, the second set of Luchos are viewed as connected to the first set, and they're viewed as somewhat a completion or replacement of those broken luchos to reflect the forgiveness of the Jews So as such, they should be placed in the same makom, in the same place together, because they both have similar features, and they both represent a category of Sinai, of the Luchos of Sinai. All right, so that's what I wanted to say for this year. If anybody question, any questions, hopefully it was clear. All right, so everybody, thank you for calling in. Have a good Shabbos. Thank you.